God a hand praise for the worship this morning. So, as you know, we are in a series here. We've been for the last few weeks talking about time and seasons. We've been coming from the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, the first through the eighth verses. If you recall, on the first Sunday that we started this series, we talked from the topic time and seasons. Then the following Sunday, we talked about the time keeper. And then on the following Sunday after that, we talked about the season between the present and the promise. And then on last Sunday, Pastor Ryan talked about finding your identity in Christ. Today, we're going to focus on Ecclesiastes 3 and 7. It says, there is a time to tear and a time to mend. Today, I want to talk to you about a time to mend. A time to mend. We're going to read from the book of Mark, the first chapter, the 14th through the 20th verses. The 14th verse says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The 18th verse said, they immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, there he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, and also, they were also in the boat mending their nets. The 20th verse says, and immediately he called them, and they left their father in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Amen? The phrase mending their nets was used in our text today. And in Mark 1 and 19, regarding the disciples repairing their nets in order to enhance their capability to catch fish. The term mend means to repair, to mend, to restore. I want to ask the question to you today, what kinds of nets do we need to prepare or mend today in our church in order to enhance our capabilities to fish? In the book of Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, it lets us know that there is a time for everything. The 7th verse of the 3rd chapter lets us know that there is a time to mend. I want you to know today, Grace Community Church, it is fishing season. The fish are biting, and we have the bait. Now, when I go fishing, I go fishing with my son a lot, and I notice that there's always questions that spectators ask when they see you fishing. One of the questions is, how's the fishing? And a lot of times, I just want to look at my empty bucket of water and point at it and answer their question. Another question they ask often is, what are you fishing for? Fish is my answer. You know, I'm the type of fisherman that it does not really matter to me what kind of fish I catch, as long as I catch fish. Whatever it is, if it's edible, I'm going to introduce you to Crisco and cornmeal. If you get on my hook, I'm not picky. Let's take a moment and look at what Jesus was doing in our text today. The Bible lets us know in our text that he was teaching a crowd of people the word of God. He was preaching. And they were listening. He had a captive audience. That is what Jesus, one of the things that he was sent to earth to do, to teach people about his Father, God, and the way of salvation. After preaching to the people, Jesus takes a walk along the banks of the water. This was not just a simple casual stroll. Jesus was looking for people. And while walking, he found Peter and Andrew, James and John. They were fishermen. They were just ordinary people. They were not trained in the Jewish religion as scribes and Levites or priests. They were not rabbis. They, in fact, were just ordinary people. They were not scribes or Pharisees. They were just common folk, ordinary fishermen, people like you and me, plain old people. God uses people like you and I to be fishers of men. You know, I said in the first service that a lot of times, in order to be successful fishers of men, you have to change the way you fish. Now, my son and I, we don't own a boat, but we like to get out deep to catch big fish. So he and I and my father-in-law came up with an idea. We fish with a drone. Yeah, we put the bait and the weight and the hook on a throne and on a drone and we send it way out in the water, and it's taking the line off our pole, and we can send it far as we want to, and then we let it drop way out in deep water so we can catch big fish. Now, I want you to understand that if you want to catch fish, you have to change sometimes how you fish. Now, when Jesus was walking, he, like I said, was not looking for any great people. He was not looking for the cream of the crop. He was looking for ordinary people. We find that he saw two boats by the water's edge. Jesus saw that the fishermen were mending their nets that they were using to catch fish. He went over to the boat and asked one of the fishermen to take him out on the boat just a little ways offshore. Jesus sat in the boat and continued to preach and teach from the boat. That way people were able to see him and hear him. Jesus actually turned the boat into his pulpit. And I want you to know that this is not always our pulpit. Yes, we share the word amongst one another. But I heard Jesus say one day, the whole need not a physician. There's some sick people, some dying fish, some fish that need to come into our tank where the air is fresh and the spirit is real. And we need to go out and catch those fish and bring them into our tank. Not necessarily Grace Community Church. We're not a people that fish just to bring people to our tank. Yes, we'd love for them to come. But we fish to bring people to Jesus. I believe that there was another reason that Jesus wanted to take the boat for a ride. He wanted to speak to Peter. Personally speak to Peter. This observation leads up to something else that I want to talk about Jesus. I want you to know about Jesus. He is not only interested in crowds. He is also interested in you individually. Jesus is never too busy. When we come to church, we usually come more than just a few. and it would be easy to be lost in the crowd. But it is important for you to know that Jesus knows exactly where you are. Jesus focuses on you as an individual and at the same time focuses on the church as a whole. He knows your needs. Can you fathom this? Jesus knows you so much until the Bible says that he knows the amount of hairs on your head or the lack thereof. He is interested in you. That is what God did with Simon. Even though he was ministering to the crowd, he wanted to touch Simon's life in a personal way. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Go out a little deeper and let your net down to catch fish." Now, I want you to know that Simon protested that because they had already been fishing all night and did not catch any fish. But what Jesus said to them was, "Cast your net on the other side." And the Bible lets us know when they obeyed God and did what he said to do, that they caught many fish. And I want you to know, Grace Community Church, we need sometimes to cast our net on the other side. We have a habit of just casting our net in our own bodies of water. But I stopped by to tell you today that it is time that we fish in other bodies of water. Other communities, other neighborhoods, other streets, other cities. We are fishers of men. What it is Jesus wants us to be deep soul fishers. He wants us to walk away and let go of our shallow faith and go for deeper faith. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." With this statement that he made to his first followers, it tells us that Jesus wants us to continue to fish in deep water. He wants us to be his fishing buddies, his fishing partners. He wants us to reach people for him. There was one thing about fishing that we must understand. You have to have the right bait. Without this, you will never catch fish. I talked about this morning on occasion when I was a younger man and I was fishing in San Francisco off a little bank of the San Francisco Bay. There was a lot of fishermen fishing and everybody was catching perch, big perch. And I was there fishing and I was not catching anything. The man to the right of me, the man to the left of me, put it in perch like it was no tomorrow. Now, yes, I was getting bites on my pole, but I did not bring in fish. I reel in my pole, my bait would be gone, but no fish. I later learned that I was using a hook that was too big. And if you know anything about perch, they have small mouths. And my hook was too big. Why are you saying that? If you want to be a successful fisher of men, you don't need to use a great big hook. You don't need to be a theologian. And you don't need to even be a Bible scholar. But you need to know what bait to use. You must have the right bait. I did a little study about fish bait and I learned something interesting. First of all, the best bait is always live bait. It is the most fresh, and sometimes some fish won't even bite if the bait is not live. I want you to understand today, church, that we are fishing with live bait because our God lives, our Christ lived, he rose again, and we have live, strong, fresh bait. His word never gets stale. It's the same yesterday, same today, and same forevermore. We have the bait. Now, there's a new kind of fishing that I never really liked, but I see people do it all the time. It's called catch and release. People don't necessarily fish for the fish. They just fish for the sport. And I told you I don't like that because if I catch you, I'm going to eat you. But these people catch and release. And then I thought about that. That's what we do in Christianity, in Christian life. We catch people. We go and fish for men. But we bring them in and disciple them. And then we release them so they can go out and disciple other people. This is the greatest pyramid scheme ever. But it is ordained by God. We need to put some effort to get to know the people that we're fishing for. Now, I go, my son and I, and his father-in-law, we go deep sea fishing every now and then. We catch a charter boat and we go out to the bay to fish. And when you are calling to make your reservations to go out, there's different types of boats or different trips that you can take. There's some boats that go out for salmon. And that boat specializes in the right bait and rigs and setup to catch salmon. Or you can go for rockfish. And they set up and just to catch rockfish or bass, whatever the case might be. But we as believers, when we are fishing for men, there's one boat that I like to catch. And they go out, it's called potluck fishing. And they fish for whatever kind of fish. They move about to the bay to catch whatever kind of fish they can catch. We as believers, when we are fishing for men, we potluck fish. Because it does not matter what kind of fish it is, what race the fish is, what demographic location the fish is. We want to bring people to Christ regardless. We potluck fish for Christ. And we need to pray for them and look for ways that we could connect them to Christ. We need to look for ways to make Jesus real to them. Also, you notice in the passage that Jesus took time to teach the word of God. We need to know the word of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says for us to study, to show ourselves approved workmen that need not be ashamed. A lot of times, we are afraid to share the word of God because we are worried that the people we are trying to catch might ask us a question that we cannot answer. But if you're going to fish for men, I recommend that you know the bait that you're using, that you familiarize yourself with what you're fishing with. Know what you're talking about. It's not hard. It's not complicated. Sometimes simple bait can be used. The simple word that God loves you, God cares about you, He's concerned about you, is just enough. It takes more than for us just to cast our net into the community and sit back in the pews and hope that fish will get caught in our nets. We have to get out there and mend our nets. We have to attend to our nets, and we have to attend to our catch. Today, I want to talk to you about three things that we need to do to mend our nets so we can catch fish. First of all, we need to mend our relationship with God. In order to mend our relationship with God, we, the church, the body of believers, need to stop fishing with religion and start fishing with relationship. I think I ought to say that again. We cannot fish with religion. We need to fish with relationship. We need to have a personal relationship with God in order to mend our nets so that we can bring fish in. We need to know God for ourselves, not just know of Him, but we need to know Him. Do you understand what relationship is? God loves us so much that He describes our relationship with Him as one between a groom and a bride. He says He is the groom and we are His bride. Think about it for a moment. That relationship between a bride and a groom is so sweet. Think about it. When you first got married, you looked at her or him and there was no flaws. everything was perfect. You didn't even mind the morning breath. Everything was perfect. There was no negative experiences with each other. When that groom looked down the aisle and saw his beautiful bride approaching, he got thrills in his heart because she was so beautiful to him. She adored him, or he adored her. There was no fault. Nothing was wrong. Everything was perfect. That's the way God looks at you. The groom or the bride sees him. But after the honeymoon, sometimes the relationship goes downhill a little. But if you hang in there and make the right choices, it will get better. In fact, the relationship will just keep getting better and better. Isaiah 62:5 says, as a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so will your God rejoice over you. Revelations 21:9 says, one of the angels who had the seven bowls of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. You are the bride of Christ. That is relationship. Do you see that God views you as his beautiful bride? Do you understand that God sees you as the beautiful bride? He loves you. He adores you and he cherishes you. Oh, that is so hard for us to comprehend, that relationship. It is so hard for us to believe. We know how imperfect we are. We know how unlovable we can be. We know all about the ugliness and the dirtiness and the disgusting things of our past. But guess what? God knows also, and he loves you in spite of yourself. Isn't that amazing? Go ahead and clap. He loves you. Number two thing that we need to do to mend our nets is we need to mend our relationship between us and other people. There is a distinct link between God's love for us and our love for others. Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. So it is plain that one critical link between our being loved by Christ and our loving others is the Holy Spirit. Love for others is a fruit that grows in our lives daily. Somehow it just happens. When God comes into your heart, you find yourself falling in love with people. You find yourself with a burning desire to fish for people. But don't let it just be a desire. Don't just walk along the banks as a spectator. You know, when I go fishing, my son and I, we fished on piers and we fished in boats and we fished off the rocks. People, spectators, walk by and they get excited about you fishing. I remember times when people are walking by and I hook a fish. And they know when you hook the fish because they see you do that yank on the pole and your pole bends. And that attracts a crowd because they want to see what you're going to pull in. So people begin to gather around as you're fighting to bring in that fish. People begin to gather around and look. And when you finally land that beautiful fish, sometimes people clap and they get excited. I stop by to tell you that if you are fishing for Jesus, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. The most loving thing we can do for others is love God more than we love them. For if we love God most, then we will love others best. The reason we will love others best when we love God most is that love is God. God is love in its purest form. God is love. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of faults. Now, I've been fishing before, and I pulled in a fish, and it was ugly. Have you ever saw ugly fish? They just look ugly. And you notice that someone else has caught that same fish. Sometimes I pull in fish, and it'll have a hook already in its mouth from other fishermen, or to have bruises or scars on their body, maybe from fighting from other fish. But it does not stop me from putting it in the skillet. And I stopped by to tell you today that if we're fishing for men, sometimes we're going to pull in people that have scars. Sometimes we're going to pull in people that they're not perfect. They might even be ugly. They might not look like we think they ought to look, but God sees them different than what we do. The Bible says that God looks on the inward appearance of man, not the outward appearance. Fishers of men, love is a fundamental part of God's nature. And we are only able to love because we love because he loves. Because he first loved us. We're only able to give freely to others because he gave freely to us. John, 1 John 4, 7 through 19 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." The 10th verse says, "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That is how we mend our nets, by loving and having a relationship with others. The 12th verse says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." The 13th verse says, "This is how we know that we live in him and him in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son, the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and them in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whosoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." Amen. 17th verse says, "This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is made perfect in love." Amen. Isn't that beautiful that God loves us? And because he loves us, we love others. We want to bring others to Christ. As a matter of fact, love is a good bait to bring people to God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, "With loving kindness have I drawn thee." Jeremiah 31 and 3 says, "The Lord appeared to us in past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love." Here it is. "I have drawn you with unfailing kindness." That's another bait. Kindness. Kindness is a bait. Love is a bait. This is how we fish for people. Third, we must mend the relationship between others and God. How do we do that? We do that by sharing God with others. We mend the relationship between others and God, because when we become fishers of men and we go out and we draw people to Christ and they come to Christ, now we have mended their relationship with God. We are the reason that they come. We don't save people. I don't know about you, but I can't. If I can save people, my neighbors, my block would just be a holy block. It would be a perfect place to live. But I can't save anybody, but I can tell them about Jesus. Amen. We must offer the only effective net to catch people, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Corinthians 1 and 18 says, to those who are perishing, the message of the cross is foolish, but to us, it is the power of God. Amen. We shine light into darkness and deliver men from hell. There is no power, no other message, and no other net that can catch fish but God. Romans 1 and 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. This was Jesus's message to Peter and Andrew. Follow me, learn of me, know and understand the mission and the message, and then you can be fishers of men. In closing, I want to tell you a story, a true story that happened to me. In my job, at one time before I retired, I worked in a correctional facility. And I had charge over an inmate that lived in the housing unit where I was working. This inmate, to say the least, hated my guts. I'll just tell you, he was a neo-Nazi skinhead. And this guy tortured me daily, talked about my wife, my family, had hatred in his heart. And every day I came to work, I had to deal with being called every kind of name you can think of. I was spit on by this man. He threw feces at me. He treated me terribly every single day. I had to deal with this man. One day, this gentleman became ill, and he was sent to the hospital. And he was admitted to ICU. And one day I was charged to go and watch him at ICU. And I sat outside his room. He's in the room and you could hear the machines breathing for him. And you could hear all the beeps and different things the machines were making to keep him alive. Something spoke to me. I won't say something, was the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, go and talk love to him. Tell him that Jesus loves him. And just like Peter, when Jesus told him to cast the net on the other side, I said, I don't think so. I don't feel led to do so. But it kept nerves and it kept bugging me. This guy is dying, but he hates me. I, at that point, really didn't care. However, the Spirit, the love that God had placed in my heart. I went into the man's room and I stood at his bedside. I looked down at him. He was highly tattooed and the tattoos represented hatred. The symbols represented hate. But God loves. So I bent down and I held the man's hand and I whispered in his ear and I said to him, God loves you. This was the hardest part. I said, and I do too. And I asked the man a question. I said, do you want to accept God in your heart before you die? I said, if you do, just let me know by squeezing my hand. Just as I said that, the young man squeezed my hand. And simultaneously, as he squeezed my hand, he redlined and died. I stopped by to tell you today, this is real, church. We are fishers of men. Not men that we love, not people that we adore, not people that we associate with, but we are fishers of even those men and women that hate us. Those men and women who do not like us. We ought to potluck fish for every race, every kind of person. They're going to come with scars. They're going to come with bruises. They're going to come with tattoos. They're going to come not dressed like us, not talking like us. But I tell you, if it's just bring them. The Bible says that my word does not go out and come back void. Let's go fishing. It's fishing season. The fish are biting. Let's go fishing. Bow your heads with me. Dear Father, we thank you today because you are a God that loves everybody. We thank you because you have gave us the great commission that you would make us fishers of men and women. Bless us that we go out and that we bring people to you, that we let them know that the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Not just to this church, but to you. Bless us that we get the boldness to go out and reach people and bring them to you. In Jesus' name, everybody ought to say amen.
Amen.